It's hug time. You changed everybody's life in this room by prophesying over them. You did. Did you prophesy over him?
Yeah.
Okay, well, there you go. You did. You all really like this part. This is good. I'm going to hug everybody in the room. No, I didn't. Well, Jesus hugged me today. Thanks. That's okay. That's okay. All right. Let's open in prayer. Father God, we humble ourselves and come before you this evening, thanking you that what you've called us to do here this evening, you've already anointed. You've already have provision. The angels are here. The spirit of prophecy is here. Glory is here. And Holy Spirit is here. Holy Spirit, you are so welcome in this place. Come and lead and guide us. We praise and thank you for your ministry on earth. Thank you for inviting us to know your voice more and more and in different ways. And we know what you've begun here this evening, Father, you will complete because you bring your works to completion. You're not only an author, but you're a finisher. So we can rest assured. We can let all stresses go. If anybody's stressed, just let's lay it at the feet of our Father and say, here, we're going to rest so we can receive and our spirits are prepared. For those on the way, Father God, we pray and thank you for angels and supernatural protection. Give them a peace, even about running late. They can always make it up on the internet. They'll be fine. We give you the entirety of this evening, and we praise and we thank you for who you are. You're a God that wants to have an intimate relationship with us, and then you want us to turn around and invite others. We thank you for that privilege and for that honor. In the matchless name of Jesus, amen. Is my voice loud enough? Is it loud enough, Gary and Doris? Okay. Okay, because I talk loud, but it seems suck. Well, I missed you last week, but it was my husband's birthday. And I ended up being sick on his birthday, so we ended up doing nothing. He had to pick up takeout. There were two or three of us just not feeling well. Nobody wanted to go out and do it. Bless my husband. Thank you that he's so laid back. Tonight we're going to talk about receiving, interpreting, and delivering revelation. I believe that many followers of the Lord were just like me for many years. I really thought that I was hearing from God, but nobody was telling me I was hearing from God. In fact, I was getting the opposite in the church that I was in because there was no equipping and training. I was clearly told to stop saying many times that that the Lord said. And so, but I was confident but I had no training. So we're going to talk about how to receive so you know you're a receiver, how to interpret it, and then give it right back out. How many of you in this room actually grew up knowing or being taught how to hear from God? Did anybody in this room? None of us? Isn't that sad, huh? Well, that's not the case here in this ministry. We're teaching the children in the ministry how to hear the voice of God. I teach my children at home how to hear the voice and know what God's up to. In fact, my 8-year-old, we were reading the Bible, and then he went to put his Bible away when we were done, and I was working on the lesson, and he comes back over and he said, "There's an angel right there next to you." And I went, that's the first time he ever told me, I wouldn't say it's the very first time, but I went like this. I said, "Do you see him?" And he said, "Yes." And I said, "Where is he?" And he showed me exactly where he was sitting. So we talked about why an angel might be sitting right next to me. And I said, "Well, we had just been honoring God by reading his word and asking him questions." And then I said, "I'm preparing a lesson for tonight. And he's making sure. He's giving me strength. He's giving me wisdom." So isn't that kind of cool? I just praise God that I get to teach this generation how to hear God's voice. Now, we want to be more fruitful in the receiving, the interpreting, and the deliverance. Because if you're faulty in any of those points, then what's the point? Unless it's just for you, the delivering wouldn't amount to being needed for anything. So let's talk about receiving revelation. Receiving revelation is the process of unveiling hidden things that were once previously veiled or not understood. You know, we've learned the many ways God speaks, and I'm not going to go back in there. Gary just asked me a question about numbers, and John had asked me a question about numbers over the weekend, and we talked about the many different ways. But let me tell you what makes an atmosphere for that to happen. It's the atmosphere of expectancy. You have to expect you're going to hear from God. I remember years ago as a baby Christian watching the 700 Club. I use that a lot in my homeschooling with the children to keep up on current events. And I'll never forget Pratt Robertson saying this. He was being interviewed on how he could walk around saying the Lord said. And I thought, oh, I better listen to this because I get rebuked on this all the time. And he said to the person, well, let's put it this way. Do you have a boss? And the person's like, yes, the interviewer. And so that person that's your boss has another boss. And he said, well, God's my boss. It'd be a little bit hard for me to serve him in this ministry. This is his work and never hear from him. How simplistic is that? If he is your master and your boss, let alone we know he's our father and our bridegroom and all these amazing things, then why wouldn't he talk to us? It's just common sense. Who of you in the room has a boss that doesn't give you information? Nah, just guess. Go ahead, guess. Guess what you're going to work on next week. And you're going to hold me accountable for it? I mean, sometimes we need to stop being so silly. When we say God is our boss, our leader, our God, then he's got to be able to give us information. Expectancy is the act, action, or state of expecting. So we're supposed to live expecting. We're to live with anticipation and live considering that it's probable, if not certain, that God's going to talk to me right now. You know, I have four children, and they range from 8 to 22. And all we have to do is mention we might do something, and they're already there in their mind. And if you don't do it, you're in big trouble. If you say you're going to the park, my little 8-year-old's on my husband. Over the weekend, my husband was going to take my daughter to Target for something. And she reminded him, we're going to Target, we're going to Target, we're going to Target. When she was 4, she got invited to be a little flower girl in a wedding. After a couple weeks of her talking about a wedding, we couldn't handle it because it was a year away. We said, you are not allowed to talk about a wedding until your 5th birthday, which is June, and the wedding's in August. Then we'll start talking about it, because it was just like August and September. We thought she was already there. She was going down the aisle. She wanted to know what, she was living it constantly because the revelation was received. You're going to be a little flower girl. She was there. And see, we get that squash. Life squashes that out of us, and God's trying to revive that in us in this season. Karen and Kathy are both telling you, if you want dreams, what should you have beside your bed? A notepad and a pen. That's saying, I'm expecting a dream tonight. Let's decree this together. I live with expectancy. I expect God to pour out his revelation on me. Now, I'm going to give you some keys that I won't say I've mastered these keys, and there's probably others, but these are four main keys to receive revelation from God. Okay? The first one is peace. You need to be in peace and be surrounded by peace. Peace is actually a person. We know Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. 5 times in the New Testament, God is called the God of Peace. Peace is a sign that God's with us because he is peace. Was Jesus peaceful even when things weren't peaceful? I say so. When he was in that storm that one time, all he had to do was say peace. The word peace is in the word 360 times. It's in the word more than the word love, more than the word salvation and deliverance. That is amazing to be in there. Yeah, so almost as much as fear not, right? So peace is what we might call the potting soil, like being ready to receive revelation. Because a quiet, restful spirit receives easily. See, by his grace, it's our job to cooperate with him to keep ourselves, our home, and our environment peaceful. Okay? One of the keys, let me give you a big key on staying in peace, is notice when you're not. Notice when you're not in peace. I notice when all of a sudden something switches in my home, and there's a spirit of strife that came into the home. And then I say peace, and then I say strife, leave, and it leaves. Because my kids really get along very well, but I'll see it come in every once in a while and try to rub against us. By his grace, we work with him to see this accomplished. Now, out of self, home, and environment, which is probably the hardest for you to try to control? I think environment. And it is self if you're not cooperating with the Holy Spirit. Environment, because you can't control other people if they're in your environment. You can't control the circumstances that are going on if you're in traffic, right? You can't help. They're on the way here, there was an accident, a pretty bad one, on right outside the back of my subdivision. So there I am, stuck in traffic a whole lot longer than I thought. I couldn't control that. I put on the worship music and said, I'm just going to worship here. I'll get there when I get there. Okay. Now, a lot of you said self, and I know why you said self, is the hardest to get in peace. But the first step is always to realize when you're missing it. What is stealing my peace? I'm in a season right now where God has me celebrating Sabbath, and here's what he said. The first thing I want you to know to do is figure out where you're not resting and in peace. Do that once a week. Then something doesn't get deeply rooted in you that you worry about or you have coming against you for months. You're doing that on a regular cycle. You're going, all right, today's Sabbath, Lord, just hold. And I don't trust myself. Holy Spirit, show me where I'm not at peace. And he's shown me, many times he's shown me, you're not at peace in this area. And I'm like, you're right. You're right. I'm acting like, but no, you're right. I haven't totally given you control of that thing. Now, once we're at peace, that's one with God. It's very easy to receive revelation in peace. This particular trait is worth working on. It really is. I started working on it years ago because I grew up in an atmosphere that didn't have peace. And I decided my home was going to be in peace. Okay? I have had so many people, including young teens. I'm talking teens. It's one thing when a mature, spirit-filled adult comes in your home and says, your home is full of such peace. But when a teenager does, your friends, you're a friend of your children, several times, and I just smile because it is something I work at. I want God to have free reign, at least of me and my property. I can't control everything. I can control, you know, I'm in the car, so I can say, my car, me, but the traffic out there, I can't do anything about it. I can pray. But I'm saying, I know, he's shown me, here are the areas you can take authority over and bring peace into that area. Isaiah 60:17 says this, I will make peace your administrator. That word administrator means overseer. Okay, one who leads and guides. How many of you have used this as a way to be led? God's not saying anything, but you go to do something that makes all the sense in the world, but on the inside, there's no peace. Only Karen? Karen? Okay, several of you. I was gonna say, come on, this is like one of the main ways he leads. Okay, and then it also means, I love this, it means a store, like store. And I'm like, as I looked at that, I go, aha, when we're in peace, it's like the store is open. He also, and also in the Hebrew, is the word, it's also an account. It's like God can come in and deposit things when you're in peace. If peace is there, it's like an account is open. And if you go back to the root word of this word administrator, it means to be deposited. Deposits are being made into you. And doesn't that seem to add up? When there's peace, then I can deposit things. Okay? I'm trying to think, how many times do you think we weren't in peace and God was trying to deposit something in us? I've got to believe many, many times, right? Isaiah 26:3 says, the steadfast of mind you will keep in perfect peace. And that word perfect peace is actually peace, peace. Shalom, shalom. It's double. Da, da, da. That's why they had to put, they didn't know, I would have liked it if they would have put peace, peace. Because that's what I wanted to, but it says perfect peace in the King James and NAS. Here's how you handle this one. Think about what you're thinking about. Regularly examine your thoughts. You know, one of the things I do is I notice when I'm not happy and have a smile on my face. I'm in that season where I'm trying to, okay, what are you thinking about? It's like, I should be full of joy. It's a fruit of the Spirit. But if I'm not, there's something that's kind of coming in there and stealing. John 14:27, I love this. Jesus said, peace I leave you, my peace I give you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. It's a gift. He said, I'm giving it to you. Here it is. So if he gave it to us, are we receiving it? Are we cognizant it's a gift? I know early on in my walk with the Lord, I wanted to make all my circumstances be peaceful. That's the hardest one to control. I can't control my husband. I can't control my children. They're going to make decisions that just aren't that good sometimes. They're learning. Okay. So peace is a gift, a fruit, a person. Psalm 29:11 says this, the Lord will bless his people with peace. It's a gift. It's a blessing to be in peace. Aren't people attracted to people of peace? Yeah, I remember growing up, you liked the peaceful people, not the people that had the scowl or had the loud voice. Okay? And all Paul's epistles had grace and peace. He was always praying over them, grace and peace, grace and peace. He knew they needed it. You can't control the world. You move in grace and peace. Okay? So that's the first key to receiving revelation. The second one is meditating on God's word. While meditating on the word of God, which is the truth, we can receive revelation. That's the first time I ever heard God's voice was really meditating on the word. I asked a question, and he answered me. And I went, oh, wow, he God talks, because I knew the devil wasn't answering my question. See, the word is hidden in our hearts through meditation, where it actually literally becomes a part of us. Holy Spirit then can use it as a rhema, and rhema you need as a weapon. How many of you had the Holy Spirit, when you were prophesying over anybody in this room, give you scripture? Okay, yeah, I have that quite regularly, as I give scriptures to people. Now, if you didn't, don't worry about it. You'll eventually, something will pop up, and you'll, oh, the Holy Spirit's telling me to give that scripture. Psalm 119:48 says this, I will meditate on your statutes. Psalm 119:78 says, I shall meditate on your precepts. You know, when we meditate, we're not talking about reading. We're talking about going over and over and over and over and over. It's never leaving you that one scripture. Okay? This apple's really pretty sitting here. You know? But if I don't eat it and chew on it and have a body that's good at assimilating, it never truly becomes a part of me. That's what God wants. He wants us to feed on his word to where it literally becomes flesh. After I eat this apple, if I chew it well and I have a good digestive system, what's going to happen? It literally becomes a part of my body. And that's what he's asking us to do with the word meditate. I'm sure you've heard this before. Meditate basically means chew the cud like a cow, because they chew on it, swallow it, spit it back up. In other words, keep chewing and chewing and chewing. Okay? And it's our choice to meditate. I don't know about you, but when I was first starting out, I would read the Word of God, and then I'd go, what did I just read? Because we were told to read the Word of God. That's really not the best thing to tell somebody. We should tell them to meditate on the Word of God. Okay? And that's what I was doing with my son. We're reading the Psalms right now. I'm like, slow down. What do you think David is saying here? And then I even asked him, I like to ask questions. Well, Joshua, do you think that Jesus would say what David just said in this section right here? He goes, no, I don't think he would. And Joshua was complaining to God. Or not Joshua, David was complaining to God. Not Joshua. Joshua's my son. And he goes, he stopped and I wanted him to think about Jesus' character. Do you think Jesus did that? And he's like, no, I don't think he did. I said, now God does want us to come to him and unload. I said, but Jesus didn't do that. And he's been picking up on some of that stuff, because I'm getting him to slow down and think about what he's reading to me. Joshua 1:8 says this, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written within it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. I love the word then. Do this, and then this is going to happen. Okay? I haven't found any part of the Word of God that hasn't worked. Has anybody found a part that hasn't worked? Really, if you stick with something long enough, you're going to see it come to pass. Okay? As we cooperate with the grace of God by meditating, we're going to start to see clearer, see from his perspective. Because seeing from God's perspective is way different than seeing from this perspective, the earthly perspective. Because once you keep chewing, it literally becomes a part of your flesh, and then you cannot be deceived. Okay? I believe there's people, how about that, what's her name, Andrea Yates? She the one who killed the homeschool mother, who killed her kids. She said God told her to do it. Now, come on. That does not line up with, if she knew the word of God, she'd go, wait a minute, something's talking to me, but it certainly cannot be God. Okay? Now, I know there was drugs involved and all that, but just, you get my point. We go, that doesn't line up. I've already looked at things and go, that doesn't line up with God's character. Once you start to know, you can tell me something about my husband, and I can tell you whether it fits his character or not. I know him so well. So now he wouldn't do that. Mm-mm. No. And he could say the same thing about me. See, as we meditate, It should be our life. We shouldn't look at it as another thing. Here's another thing I have to do. It's not another thing you have to do. In fact, now that you know how to hear God's voice, you should say, what do you want me to meditate on today, Lord? Ask Him. I know when I first started out, I had my lists, my Bible reading plans. And I believe it's a good way to get the Word of God in you. I really do. But then there started to be a grace gone. It wasn't there. And I'd go to do something and I'd get this lack of peace. And I realized God wanted me, He wanted me to ask Him, what are we going to do? I'd hear Isaiah 27. Oh, I guess you don't want me in John today. You want me in Isaiah 27 today. As I got more and more used, He's like, all right, now you've got some self-discipline here. Now move yourself out of the way, Deborah, and let me lead and guide you. And I started to see how wonderful that was, because He was equipping me for something that was either getting ready to happen. A lot of times it was really for intercession, because I was an intercessor, a very strong one at that time. I put a lot of my focus was at that season versus training. You know, when we cooperate with God's grace, things just happen so easily. I was getting ready to actually teach on the imagination and meditation probably about a year and a half, 2 years ago. And the week right before I was teaching on meditating and why we needed to do it and how it worked with our imagination, we had birds 2 days in a row come into our garage, get between the blinds and the window, so the bird couldn't get out. So my kids would come, they think it's, wow, something fun is happening on the property. Mom, there's a bird. And I'm there trying to get the bird. I'm lifting the blind. He's trying to go out the window when the blind is lifted and all he has to do is turn around. By the second day when it happened, I said, all right, God, what's going on? He said, that's my people. He goes, they're all looking in the wrong direction. I've lifted the blind. I'm trying to help them, but they're convinced this is the direction they need to go, because it sure looked like that was the way to get out. It was a window, but he kept hitting the window 2 days in a row. That happened. And this is what God told me. The Hebrew word meditate is the word hagah, and it literally means to cooperate with the grace of God in such a way that you get lifted up to see from His perspective. Okay? And if you do that, it comes to pass. And that's the Hebrew word hayah, which means the hand of God comes down in that middle of all that grace to cause the thing to come to pass. God is saying, if you'll meditate, you can take it from words on a page and help it become flesh and reality in your circumstances in life, your plan, the life I have for you. But it all starts with meditating. Okay? The third thing we're going to talk about is waiting on the Lord. I had fun with this one, I'll just tell you that one. I learned some new things. Okay. Waiting on the Lord is a spiritual discipline that is so worth it. I am totally convinced, if you look back in the original language, it does a lot more than, I'm going to linger here until God speaks to me. It's true. You linger, God is going to speak to you. I can guarantee it. I've never said, well, you just didn't talk to me today. Never happened. Now, sometimes He's real gracious, especially when my kids were little and I throw myself on the sofa. I'm home with these kids all day. Oh, I need you, Lord. Whew. His presence was there. But it isn't always that way. Waiting strengthens us, and I'm going to show you that. I'm going to give you some scriptures on that. It does things we don't even realize, because the closer we get to God, one of the things I've realized, when I get close to Him, sometimes He's not in a hurry. I think there's a bunch of grace. Like when you have little toddlers hanging on your leg and you only have a few minutes. But I found the older I get, He's not in that much of a hurry. I need to sit there and wait. But when you do wait, I can guarantee you this. He eventually moves. He'll give you something. There'll be something, even if it's just you feel His presence. Okay? In that waiting, He provides us the needed food. I told you, first He gave me lists and patterns. Now it's like, what are we going to do today? So when you go in your quiet time, this is a good way to practice hearing His voice. Get up in the morning or when you have your quiet time and say, all right, what are we going to do today, Lord? Now, some of it's very practical. I used to think that the devil kept talking to me during my prayer time, and I realized God was giving me actually like practical things. Don't forget to mail the bill, like your electric bill. You know, that word would come. I'm not going to think about my electric bill right now. This is a holy moment. I wouldn't write it down, and I'd forget to pay the electric bill, and I'd go, God was actually telling me to pay the electric bill. Does that happen to anybody else? So see, we're all silly. We're all as kids. Like, oh, you were actually giving me practical information, not just highly spiritual, holy stuff. Okay, both. Why don't we say this together? Lord, what are we going to do today? And I believe he'll give you both things you need to read and study, and then think practical things. So that's what I have, a piece of paper. I've learned to do this. And I have, and many times a book will come to mind. I don't have to open the Bible. There's lots of scripture in just about every book I have in my house, probably a scripture except for the homeschooling things. And a book will come to mind, and I'll peruse. What do you want me to read there today? Just follow the leading of Holy Spirit. So you can. That's one way to practice his voice in the prophetic every single day. Now, what is waiting? Well, waiting on God is attentively and expectantly gazing upon him with undistracted focus until he moves, talks, or leads you in a certain direction. Okay? And I can't give you a time frame. I just know there's great mercy. Does anyone in here have little kids? Anyone have little? But you take care of somebody little? He's got great mercy. And there's even a verse on that. I know it's in Isaiah, that he gently leads those with young. I claim that a lot. I need gentle leading. I need it to be easy because they're pulling on me all day long. Okay? To wait on God also means to, if you go back to the original language, also means to stare at his hand. To serve and minister to him. Why the hand? Because we want to serve and minister to him when we see him signal with his hand what needs to be done. Okay. Psalm 123:2 says it this way. Behold, as the eyes of servants look to the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maid to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord. Now, if you're close to somebody's hand, how close are you? Pretty close. You're not too far away. Okay. And while we're waiting for God, we should wait on God. Sometimes I don't say words. It's kind of like I just take my heart and just sing to him. Sometimes I like to talk, but sometimes he just wants me to be quiet. And that pleases him, just sitting there, not doing anything. Just, I'm here with you. I can just feel his pleasure when I do it. And I found that he's never boring. I'm never bored after their second. I've never said, I wish I wouldn't have done that. I wish I wouldn't have waited on God. I have never, ever said that. Here's what's boring. Religion, checking things off of a list. Oh, I read through the... Now, I had tons of grace to read through the Bible very early on with the Lord. But once I started teaching, my quiet time moved towards to getting food to feed the sheep. Okay? Or food to intercede in the prayer ministries I was involved in and led. Until he acts, just let him love all over you. And then you respond by loving back. You will feel his love. Now, waiting on God is probably the hardest discipline you'll ever have. Because guess what your flesh and your soul are going to do? They're going to fight you. Has anybody gone through this? Everybody? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Things start popping. Just quickly write them down. I hum. Love you, Lord. I imagine him. Just sitting in his presence with all of his tension. To some, all of our attention, it can be agonizing, especially with technology. Anybody have that thing with the computer, the email, the phone is going off? I love all that stuff, but sometimes you just need to get away. He was telling me to go exercise this morning. I was up early, had a full day, and he had to tell me two or three times. Now's a good time to go exercise. Okay. So I was getting done the exercise. I said, well, I need to go check my email. And he's like, no, you need to go sit outside and eat apples. And so that's what I did. I wanted to go check my technology because a couple people going through some real difficult times right now. And he's like, no, you need to go sit outside with me and don't take anything out there. Don't take your notes out there. I just want to spend time. I want you to look at the sky. I want you to watch the birds. I want you to just enjoy my presence. And I did. He was just, and I had already had a bunch of quiet time, but he's like, okay, put that aside. Now come do this. It's just the ever so slight leading. I'll get to that exercise in a minute, Lord. By the third time, I thought, I better listen to him or the day's going to be gone, and then I didn't exercise at all. I'll tell you this. How many of you have some, don't raise your hand, but if you're having difficulty, you just have to press. And here's what you do. You ask him for the grace to press. It's always there. You ask for grace when you need it. I don't ask for grace for what's going to go on tomorrow. When I get up in the morning, I ask for grace for that day. And if I feel like I'm not getting any, I stop and I say, you know what, I need grace and wisdom. There's two things I ask for all the time, grace and wisdom. Okay? And you'll see it'll become real easy. Okay? Now, as waiting on God becomes a habit for us, we can derive more fulfillment by being with Him than by working for Him. And I have tons of things He tells me to do. I have people calling me already about the next new month and going, are you doing one? I'm like, finally, I told someone yesterday when I got another phone call, I said, listen, I think I have too much on my schedule this month. So I don't think I'm going to do it. My next meeting will be Pentecost, telling them, because they're starting to call me, when's your next, what you're going to do this month? I go, you know what, I'm going to study it on my own, but I don't think it's wisdom. I wasn't getting a release. It wasn't, I can study it and spend time talking to the Lord. You see how sometimes we just need to say, I would rather be with you than do that stuff. We're going to get to the point where being with Him fully satisfies us. Then we can wait as long as necessary, just as long as He stays with us. While I was working on this session yesterday, and I was specifically working on waiting, I had an unusual moment in my home. The little kids were gone. My husband took them to Target. My older daughter was gone, and my son was in his room with a friend, and I knew they weren't going to bug me. They were studying. And so I was like, quiet. I was like, wow, this is, I only get early in the morning. This is like the middle of the afternoon. So I just stopped. It was right here, and I stopped. And this is the first time this has ever happened. He came and he kissed me. He was like, and I said, well, Ann got that, but she was on a missions trip. All I'm doing is preparing this lesson for tomorrow. And here's what he said. He thanked me. And I said, why in the world are you thanking me? And he said, because you're not keeping the secrets to intimacy with me to yourself. You're not keeping the secrets of intimacy with me to yourself. I'm teaching others. And then today when I was doing this session, he did it again. Every time I did this session, he would come over and just kiss me right here at this point. When I was teaching people how to wait and how to enjoy. When I'm going in my mind, here's what I'm going to tell them. Here's how you enjoy God. Wait on Him. Wait for Him to come. Enjoy just being with Him versus doing something. While all the time this is staring in my face, my kids need something. And you know, I'm trying to balance all this stuff. See, being fulfilled and satisfied and waiting on Him is why Jesus could wait to minister until He was 30. Now, we know from the Word of God at 12, I would love to be right now where He was at 12, because listening, reading Luke 2, 45 to 47, he was teaching them. Here's what it says in Luke 2, 45 to 47. This is the parents. When they, His parents, did not find Him, they returned to Jerusalem looking for Him. Then after 3 days, they found Him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening and asking questions. And all who heard Him were amazed at His understanding and His answers. He was actually amazing the teachers. It says, he wasn't just sitting with people, it said He was sitting with the teachers at 12. So where did He go for 18 years? God chooses not to tell us. But He obviously had to be satisfied, right? Okay. I think is a good stopping point right now to do an activation. But Anne, is this the point you wanted to come up and talk to them for a moment?